how do driven entrepreneurs like you and me, who want to play the game of life at our full potential, actually do that so that we net seven figures a year and experience the overall exceptional life? It's all about leveraging our most valuable asset, our brain. But how do we train our brain to actually rewire our autopilot so that all of the right actions and focus happens automatically without thinking as we create the exceptional life in business, health, and our significant other relationships? These are the questions, and this is the podcast that answers them. This is where your net seven figures a year freedom begins. Welcome, I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell.
And today we are going to dive into the topic of courage. So John, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, well, you know, I think that courage is at the center of solving every problem, if you really think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, any problem ultimately gets solved by having the courage to take an action. And I can think of two important moments in my life that required courage. And, you know, the first one happened when I turned 50. You know, in this as you know from my story, I wasn't as successful as I thought I should be at 50. And, you know, I wrestled with this issue when I was turning 40, too, I might add, because I wasn't as successful as I thought I should be. And I remember when I turned 40, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to do my best. That's all I can control. I'm going to do my best. And I thought that was good. And at some level, I think that gave me comfort. And what I didn't realize, and I may have said this on a prior episode, that I thought I was doing my best, but I really didn't know what doing my best was. You know, I was unenlightened about growing as much as I should and focusing on what moves the needle, neither of which I did back when I was turning 40. And so I was deceiving myself that I was doing my best. But nevertheless, you know, that's how I approached it. But when I turned 50, just that scarcity of time, and you know, it really hit me that I had to make it happen in my 50s. There's no waiting for it, hoping for it. And I think to a large degree in my 40s, I certainly had the attitude that I'm just going to put my head down and work hard because I didn't know there was an alternative. I didn't understand the concept of working smart. Nobody had tapped me on the shoulder and told me of a way to work smart. I'm sure I would have embraced it if someone had showed it to me, but I think that's how a lot of people are, is they're working so hard, just head down, work hard, because they don't know an alternative. And so when I turned 50 and feeling that scarcity of time, one thing was clear to me was that if I wanted to ever have that exceptional life, I had to start netting seven figures a year. The $200,000 or $300,000 a year I'd been making for the prior 20 years just wasn't going to cut it. And I know that sounds materialistic, but hey, that's just the math. And so I'm feeling that intense pressure. And I'm like, you know, I need to man up here. I mean, I need to have the courage to fix this problem. I don't know what the solution is per se, but I know that if I keep on doing what I'm doing, I'm going to keep on getting the same results. And before I look up, I'm going to be 60 and my best years are behind me. Now, subsequently, I have come to disprove that, or at least in my opinion. But but at the time I thought, boy, it's my 50s or bust. And I think that maybe that's at the end of the day, that intense, I don't know, focus that, John, you've got to fix the problem and you got to fix it right now. There's no more, well, let's see what happens in the next decade or that something magical is going to happen. No, you're going to have to figure out a solution and you're going to have to implement that solution. And I think that intense pressure that I put on myself ended up being really good because then it comes to me to find the top book in the world on success and apply that book literally word for word to my life. Well, that ended up being life-changing, obviously, for both of us, I'm proud to say.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, that the courage showed up when I wouldn't put up any longer with the average life. And so that was probably the pivotal moment of courage in my life. So tell me about your moment of courage.
Yeah, no, I'll dive into that. And I think I want to preface it by saying too, that, you know, a lot of the time, and when we started this, this podcast and we started recording, we said, we're talking about the topic of courage. And I think right away, a lot of people's minds may go to, you know, that a courageous act or heroism or, but let's be real. I mean, there are moments that come up every single day that require courage, especially as a leader and as a business owner and dealing with people. And, you know, it requires a level of courage. You started out by saying making the tough decisions. You know, it's having the hard conversations. It's making the decisions that you know are logical, but they go against what your heart's telling you to do, but you know they're the right business decision. You know, it's those moments, and they happen, you know, throughout every day. My moment that was a pivotal moment in my life, let's say, is when I first became an entrepreneur. So, it was the catalyst for becoming an entrepreneur. So right. I'd always wanted to be an entrepreneur from the time that I was 16, 17 years old in DECA, in entrepreneurship competitions. And I always wanted to do that. And then I fell into a job that I absolutely loved in the recruiting industry. And like you who may be listening right now, it's so easy, you know, like when you become passionate about something and then a blink of an eye happens and 13 years go by. You know what I mean? I got, yeah. We've talked about this in prior episodes. I got cozy, comfortable, but there was always this thing that was in the back of my mind, like, well, you've got to do this for yourself. Why aren't you doing like this recording that was on in my mind? And I had a mentor, you know, that I had known since high school. And so we would have regular, you know, meetings, you know, maybe every couple of times a year we'd get together. And I talked again about, gosh, I really, you know, that's one of the things that's on my list. I want to start my own business. And he's like, Kelly, and it was that cold glass of water in the face, you know, that tough talk that you need to hear. And he's like, he said, listen, you bring this up every time we get together. You know, he said, so let me just ask you a question. He said, if 3 years from now, like we have the prior 5 years, he said, if 3 years from now, we're having this same conversation, how would you feel? And immediately the word disappointed came out of my mouth. And he said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, the next time we get together, I don't want it to be a topic of conversation about you wish that you'd done this. You should take action and make it happen. And so, you know, again, it was the cold glass of water in the face that I needed for somebody to talk tough to me. That was part of it. So I already was kind of in that mode. And then something happened at work. And it just was the last sign that I needed to take action. And I'm like, immediately started taking action. I, you know, had a conversation with my husband. I'm like, I'm going to walk away from six figures. Are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm. You know, can we still be married?
Back in 2009, exactly. Will we still, you know, is that going to, you know, how do you feel about that? Because I'd like to stay married. So,
right.
You know, so for me, it was the courage. And I'm not by nature up until the point where I became, since I took the first step and became an entrepreneur, every risk I've taken after that has been, you know, they're always, you know, measured for sure, but they become easier and easier. But that one was a big one because I like to know what's going to happen. The security of, you know, so as much as I wanted to be an entrepreneur, there was so much fear associated with doing that because the security and the stability of having a job and, you know, all of that were there, not knowing, is this going to work out? Am I going to be successful? you know, all of those things. So walking out the door, well, I guess having the conversation where I gave a month's notice to my existing employer and not having a plan yet, but it's like, I've got to do it. I'm so that I don't allow myself a choice. It's like, you've got to move now.
Right.
So I think that for me was the moment that started my whole entrepreneurial journey that for me felt courageous, you know, walking away from all of that security when that is like the base of kind of what I am made of. I need that, especially around money. I was really had kind of a scarcity kind of mindset at the time. So,
right.
You know, it was like, I was not going to make any more money. It was almost like I was walking away from 100,000, you know, or six figures and not thinking about all of the things I could gain as a result of becoming an entrepreneur. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah. I think it's interesting that courage in your case was spurred by a conversation from the outside. And you know, that conversation spurred you because you had pride, you had a standard for yourself, and that conversation was poking at things that were, you know, right on point with who you wanted to be and how you wanted to show up. And, you know, it reminds me of the other point in time where I felt like I had courage, in that when I started out as an entrepreneur, you know, I started out as a CPA. And by the time I became like 28, I'm like, you know, I do not want to be an accountant all my life. And no offense to all the accountants out there that I know we just got a ton of accountants listening to us, but you know, I was clear that I didn't want that for my life, and I really didn't want the average life. And I also saw at that point that I'd experienced working for people that I just didn't like them. I didn't think they were that sharp. I damn sure didn't like how they treated me, and I didn't want my life to be controlled by somebody else. And so that was the impetus. And so the way I launched into being an entrepreneur, I'd gotten to know these three guys that sold tax shelters to CPAs, and they were in their 40s and 50s, and keep in mind, I'm in my 20s, and I'd known them for a couple of years, and they were true salesmen, but they were polished and sharp guys. And so they'd sell all these different types of tax shelters to CPAs. And so I put some of my clients in their deals, but as this entrepreneurial itch was itching, you know, I scratched it by going to them and said, you know, I want to get out of the accounting profession, and you guys need somebody to look at all the deals that are coming through to tell you if they'll work, both from an economic standpoint and from a tax standpoint. And so they're like, we buy that. So come work for us. And I remember I was making $30,000 a year, $2,500 a month. So the deal was, come office with us. We're going to pay you $2,500 a month. You can do other things, but look at the deal. So off I go. I start looking at deals. And probably 3 or 4 months in, now they had a pipeline of sources for deals, but one day I find a deal on my own. And I bring it to them, and it involves building fourplexes. And I explained to them, you know, if you take this and you change this and change that, this thing would be a home run. And so they look at it and they go, yeah, that we could sell the heck out of that. But they go, you know, we're not developers. We don't know how to develop. And I'm like, well, how tough can it be? I mean, you know what? You go get the land, you get a builder, you get an architect, you get the financing. I mean, you know, I'm 20, 28 or 29. I'm like, how tough can it be? But it doesn't seem that tough. And I said, I can do this, you know, and they go, well, okay, let's go do this. And they were completely hands-off on it. But every week I would report to them where I was in the project. And so I do just what I had said. I go find a real estate broker to find the land. So I find the land. Then I'm like, okay, let's go find an architect to build what we're going to build. Okay, find the architect, then find the builder, found the builder. And so, and it was exciting because, you know, what I didn't say earlier is these guys were crushing it in terms of financially. They were each easily making what in today's dollars would be over $1 million each. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden I'm like, wow, you know, I'm a partner. We sort of have a handshake deal on this. And I'm like, I see my future really taking off here. I'm going from making $30,000 a year to I don't know what, but I know I'm rolling with guys that are making $1 million a year. So it's got to be pretty good.
Right.
And so I put the whole deal together, find the land, put the whole thing together. And ultimately I had to create a investment summary that explained how it worked. And that happened to play right into my strengths. So I could take the complex and make it simple. That was my unique talent I had discovered from being a CPA. And so I put together this summary and hand it to them. And, you know, it's probably a 20 or 30 page summary that explains it all, but the essence of it was explained in probably 2 or 3 pages. And they take it, and within literally 3 or 4 days, they sell out of it and raise $4 or $5 million. So once that happened, I'm like, well, here we go. Here mm-hmm. we go. My future is looking good. And so about a week or two later, after they raised the money, I remember it like it was yesterday, and they called me into their office, the main partner, and it was a Friday. And he says, well, John, you know, we're going to let you go because you don't bring any financial strength to this situation. And it's going to take a multi-million dollar bank loan to build this. And you just don't bring anything to the table. And I'm like, of course I don't. I'm 30 years old. I've been making $2,500 a month. Of course I don't. What, you know? And they go, but I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you $100,000, but we won't give it to you now. We'll give it to you in 2 years when the thing gets built. Well, I'm devastated. I am totally devastated. And I remember packing my stuff, getting in my car, driving back to my townhouse, and I'm just devastated. Mm-hmm. Well, the next day I get up and I am still devastated. I mean, I cannot believe what had happened. Well, Sunday I get up and I go, F them. I am pissed now. I am pissed mm-hmm. now. And so by truly the grace of God, I was able to put together my own duplicate deal and did everything exactly the same way. And because the market was so hot, that's why I was able to do it. And not because I was so sharp, but because ripe time, right place. And I ended up making more money on my own deal, much more than I would have made as a partner with them. And so the essence of that story is courage. You know, I saw that it took courage to quit being a CPA, but it took way more courage that when I got knocked down to get back up. And you know, I remember, I mean, that happened many, many years ago, but it's one of my proudest moments. And so, again, back to what I had said originally, courage ultimately is the solution to any problem. So anything else to add about it?
I love it. I think just, you know, pointing something out that each of these moments that we talked about in our life that were courage, and then thinking yourself of the times that you've taken action, you know, you've made the difficult decision, you've had the hard conversation, you've started your own business, all of the good things that come from having courage. You know, there are those inflection points in our life.
Right.
That lead, you know, it's painful in the moment, but leads to the good stuff at the end. And I think, you know, just reminding people and think about like any time you've been putting off that conversation that you need to have, and then you finally have it. And what a relief that is, and how much it solves the issue that, you know, right. when you, good, bad, or otherwise, it's out there now and you can talk about it. And so I think just thinking about all of the benefits that come from stepping up and living courageously in each moment. And again, that comes down to just those small decisions we're making, conversations we're having. And so anyway, that was just the last point that I wanted to add.
So do you think everybody is born with courage?
Gosh, I've never thought about that before. I think so. I mean, right. I think it's intrinsic. I mean, I think just the act of being born is
right.
And learning to walk and all of those things takes courage. You know what I mean? And falling down and getting back up and hopping back on that bike, you know, and right. trying again. I think it's intrinsic to who we are as people. It's just a matter of cultivating that courage.
You know, I agree with that. I think that's an interesting idea. It really is, I think, innately wired into us to be courageous. And but it's probably like a muscle, you know, if you got to use it to develop it. And
100%.
And I think that so much of courage comes down to pride. And you know, I know we agree on this about how precious life is. And you got to have the pride in your life and the courage to make your life whatever you want it to be. Just like, you know, when I was 50 and not accepting that average life, it just came down to courage to do something about it, to find that solutions. And so I think like we've been talking, it's a combination of sometimes it's, you've got to have a tough conversation with somebody else. And sometimes you got to have the tough conversation with yourself.
Yes.
So, I think that wraps up the topic of courage. I hope we've enlightened our audience, because truly you have courage in you. It's innately in you, and just believe in yourself. And when the moment comes that you've got to have courage, it'll be there. Mm-hmm. And so that's the message for the day.
Yay. I love it.
Okay. We'll see you next time. So go to thinkabit.com to learn more. And if you want to email either Kelly or me, we love to interact with our audience. Go to john@thinkitbeit.com or kelly@thinkitbeit.com. And so until next time, we'll see you.
Thanks for listening today. If you've had your own aha moment from today's episode, send me or John an email. We'd love to share your epiphany with our audience. So email us at kelly@thinkitbeit.com or john@thinkitbeit.com. In the meantime, live the exceptional life.